Now, friends, I want to conclude this study of the biblical principles of government with a few closing remarks. Salvation is the beginning of a new life. After salvation, one's purpose is to glorify God. Jesus said to Peter, who rebuked him for speaking of his coming sufferings and death at the hands of the elders and chief priests and scribes, as we find recorded in Matthew 16:23-27, "Get thee behind me, Satan. Thou art an offense unto me, for thou savorest not the things that be of God, but those that be of men. If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whosoever shall save his life shall lose it, and whosoever shall lose his life for my sake shall find it. For what is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? For the Son of Man shall come in the glory of the Father with his angels, and then he shall reward every man according to his works." Hope begins with the individual, with self-government. A saved individual has hope. He has rejected sin and Satan in his rule and turned to Christ and his principles. One who is saved continues in God's word and seeks to live according to biblical principles. He has the promise of persecution while on this earth. 2 Timothy 3:12 says, "Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution." I know a lot of churches and pastors and Christians like to leave that promise out. Some Christians forget that although every saved person will go to heaven, there they will still be rewarded according to their work. Matthew 3:11-15 says this, "For other foundation can no man lay than it that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now if any man build upon this foundation gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire." A church, a family, or a nation made up of Christians, that is, those who are saved and follow the principles of God, has hope. Peter makes clear he will keep his brethren in remembrance that a Christian needs certain things to prevent himself from being barren and unfruitful, to keep himself from falling. He needs faith, virtue, knowledge, temperance, patience, godliness, brotherly kindness, and charity. We find this in 2 Peter 1:3-13. God would have us exercise these qualities in all things. According as his divine power hath given us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given to us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in this world through lust. 2 Peter 1:3-4. All things would include all principles of the Word of God. The doctrines of church, state, and separation of church and state are therefore to be studied diligently and applied by the Christian. Unfortunately, most Christians are deficient, especially in knowledge. The principle of Hosea 4:6-19 concerning rejection of knowledge and the inevitable consequences thereof, although directed immediately to the children of Israel, is also a general principle which applies to believers today. Sadly, in any nation, the lost and the saved who are not seeking to follow after God's principles always outnumber Christians, at least in the long run. As a result, no civil government has ever been under God for any length of time, and every civil government, as we have seen, has been or will be judged by God before he sets up his kingdom. Did God give us all the principles people need for success as individuals, as families, and as nations, knowing that we would always ultimately fail? Yes. He knew it from the beginning. He knew we would totally destroy ourselves, even with all his wisdom at our disposal. He knew that we would ultimately totally reject all his wisdom, statutes, and commandments. And along the way, he knew that no one at any time would ever fully comprehend God and God's ways. He knew men would blow it. Yet because of his love, he sent his own son to pay the price for our monstrous sins. He gave each and every person a way out. That way was not oneself, one's conscience, one's family, one's virtue, one's good deeds, one's church membership, one's baptism, one's religion, or one's civil government. That way was his son, period. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for your word and the many, many truths contained in your word. May you take this broadcast and use it in the hearts and minds of Christians who are listening in. May more and more Christians see the importance of the issues we're talking about and start applying them in their churches, oh God. May churches return to you. That's our goal. But our ultimate goal is to glorify you. May you increase. May I and all Christians decrease. We'll give you the praise and the glory for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, dear friends, to close out this program, I'd like to give you just a brief outline of where we've been, where we're going, and where we are. We started out with salvation, told you how to be saved. I know many of you are, but if you are not, please go to my website, churchandstatelaw.com, and hit the salvation button. From there, we studied walking in the Spirit with knowledge, understanding, and wisdom. After you're saved, you must work at it. You've got to study. You've got to grow in knowledge, understanding, and wisdom as led by the Holy Spirit of God. Having just completed a study of the biblical principles of government, next we'll go to the biblical principles concerning the church, then biblical principles concerning separation of church and state. After we finish that, we will go to the American application of those principles. We'll start with the history of the First Amendment, the true history of the First Amendment. Then we will go to Supreme Court jurisprudence that has dealt with the issue of separation of church and state. We'll see how the Supreme Court has managed to remove God from practically all civil government matters. Finally, we'll see how God's churches in America have betrayed God by becoming legal entities.